Let's turn in God's Word this evening to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, begin reading at verse 13 and read through chapter 4, verse 11. Our text this evening is verses 2, 3, and 4 of Matthew chapter 4. We continue on in our series for the season of Lent, observing the Lord Jesus Christ as He sets His face to the cross, especially in the first few chapters of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I read God's holy and inerrant word to that point. This evening the text is verses 2, 3, and 4 of Matthew 4, the first temptation of Christ. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Beloved of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has been declared the beloved Son of God in His baptism. And having been declared as such, He now enters into the wilderness to prove, to show His perfect sonship in the face of the temptations of the devil. This is God's will for Jesus Christ. God, by the Holy Spirit, drives Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. He purposely places Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted. The Lord has willingly committed Himself to His calling as head of the covenant of grace at His baptism. And now He must begin to walk the path of fulfilling that calling. And He must do so, though tempted to the uttermost, to go another way. He must be righteous, As God's perfect Son, His meat and drink must be to do the will of His Heavenly Father every moment of His life. As the perfect sacrifice, He must take away the unrighteousness of His people in the way of His atoning cross. And the devil in the wilderness tempts Him to do neither of those two things. It's important at the outset to see that each of the three temptations that our Lord faces is an attack upon that twofold way in which He will fulfill all righteousness for us. There is in each temptation the devil's desire to make Jesus a personally unrighteous son, so that there might be no righteousness to impute to you and to me. And there is also in each temptation the devil's desire to make Jesus build a kingdom without taking away our unrighteousness, without going the way of the cross, that there might be no salvation for us. That twofold temptation provides the first two points of the sermon this evening. And then the third point of the sermon comes as we see how faithfulness of Christ under temptation is our great hope and comfort. The Lord suffers. He suffers being tempted in the wilderness. He suffers here in the first temptation by being tempted to distrust His Father's provision and plan. Trust. Trust of His Father is the issue in this first temptation. A son must trust his Father's will for him. And this son must trust his Father's will for the building of his kingdom. And Jesus, the perfect Son, the new Israel of God, does just this for our salvation. And as Jesus trusts his Father in the wilderness, so must we. The beloved Son, tempted by bread, is the theme. Let's notice first, tempted to distrust provision. Second, tempted to distrust the plan. And tempted for the purpose of setting us free. The beloved Son, tempted by bread, to distrust provision, to distrust the plan, and to set us free. Our Lord Jesus Christ was hungry, very hungry. And the thought of bread appealed to His real human nature and real human body and real human desires very greatly. The Lord had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And that doesn't mean that He didn't eat anything substantial. It means that He ate absolutely nothing at all. Luke 4, verse 2 says that He ate nothing. Nothing for 40 days. Sometimes we might think of the temptations of Jesus Christ as trite or almost simple. All He had to do was not eat a piece of bread. How difficult could that be? Well, there was much more involved here in this temptation, and we will talk about that this evening. But right at the beginning, we must understand that our Lord Jesus Christ was hungry. And in His real, fully human nature and body, He was hungry with a hunger that you and I will never experience. What is the longest that you or I have gone without food? One day, perhaps, you know, you can recall the hunger pains that are there after one afternoon, or maybe a whole day. But imagine what the hunger pains would have been after 40 days. 40 days. He desired bread. And the devil plants in his mind the thought of providing that bread that he desires for himself. But our Lord Jesus Christ must not eat bread right now, not now in his life. Not because there's anything wrong with eating bread, of course. There's not. And our Lord's desire even for bread, hungry as he was not wrong, was not a sinful desire in itself. but to turn stones into bread in order to eat would have been sin, wrong, in this circumstance of his life. You see, this 40 days of no food in the wilderness is not just some random fluke event for him in his life. It's not either that the devil had forced this upon him, that the devil had stolen all the food away from him. God had appointed the Lord Jesus unto this 40-day fast. God's will for him was this, to test him, and to test him by withholding food from him for this period of time. Remember that as we expounded last time, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness. That indicated God's sovereign plan, God's sovereign will was for His Son to come into that wilderness and to be tested to prove Himself the new and true Israel of God. And though the text does not explicitly say that the Spirit led Jesus into this 40-day fast, the implication is certainly there, since the Spirit led Him into the wilderness. This fast was God's will for Him, God's decree, His appointment for Him. And if God led Him into this fast, then God must be the one to lead Him out of it. Jesus comes to do the will of His Father. John 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. And that means there, I can of my own initiative, of my own desires, do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. And Father's will right now for him is that he not eat, but be tested in the wilderness with hunger, as Israel of old had been tested in the wilderness with hunger. Remember that the inspired gospel writer Matthew here is presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the new and true Israel of God, who lives the Old Testament Exodus over again, only without sin. He has been called out of Egypt. He has been baptized. He has been declared God's Son. And now He is in the wilderness being tempted, just like Israel of old. And the heart of the temptation here to provide bread for himself as the new Israel of God was the same as old Israel's temptation regarding bread in the wilderness of the Exodus. The temptation is a temptation not to trust the provision of Father in the wilderness. God had declared Old Testament Israel His Son, and had taken him into the wilderness and promised him a land flowing with milk and honey one day at the end of their journey. But God had told them that that day is not yet. First, you must pass through the wilderness, and you must trust me as your Father as I take you through that wilderness. I will provide for you. I will give you what you need here. I'm going to hold much back from you, but you must trust me. And you must want me more than the flowing milk and honey, for I am your Father and your God. That was part of God's testing of His Son, Israel, in the wilderness. Would they trust Him as their Father and provider there in the desert? Would they be satisfied with Him and little else in that wilderness? Or would all they want be the delicacies of Egypt that they left behind, even if they must be slaves again in order to have them? The very verse that our Lord Jesus quotes to resist this first temptation makes plain that that was the test that God gave to them. The Lord here quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Start, though, with Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 speaks of God testing Israel, His Son, in the wilderness. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no. And then the next verse, verse 3, goes on to describe exactly how He humbled them and how He proved them, or how He tested them in that wilderness. and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. He suffered them to hunger. He did not give them everything that they wanted in that wilderness. He let them be hungry for a time. And then he showed himself faithful, the provider, by giving them manna from heaven, daily bread, their necessities only, day by day. And how did Israel of old respond to this testing of God? Numbers 11, verses 4, 5, and 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They were not satisfied with the provision of their father in the wilderness. They wanted more than what he had appointed them. Their bellies became their god in that wilderness. They would rather have all the bounties of Egypt and remain slaves than have daily bread and have their father. They fell to the temptation in that wilderness to view their father as a cruel tyrant and not as a faithful provider. So they cried out in Exodus 16, verse 3, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Would to God we had died in Egypt at least. We would have had our bellies full when we died. Jehovah didn't take us out here to be our father. He was lying. He was lying when he told Pharaoh that we were his son. He took us out here to kill us. He's a tyrant. Even though they had everything that they needed, even though they had his promises ever before them, they did not trust his fatherhood in the wilderness. They thought that they knew better than him how to father themselves. And they said, He may think that we are his son, but we do not think that he is our father. And now you see, as the new Israel of God and the perfect beloved Son, this is the first temptation that Jesus faces as well in the wilderness. Notice that the bite of Satan's temptation here is those words before he commands our Lord to change the stones into bread. Verse 3, If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And there Satan is not doubting that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's not trying to get Jesus to doubt that he is the Son of God. The if there means since. Since you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. What is the devil saying? He's saying this, look. You've just been declared God's beloved Son. He just told you that He was well pleased in you. He declared that to all the world. Look what He's doing to you now. Is this any way for a father to treat his son? 40 days, nothing to eat? Who can bear it? Look at you. You're about ready to die. You're his son? Son ought to eat. If you are his son and he is your father, then he is a worthless father. He's the one who put you here. He's the one who does not give you any food. And isn't the basic concept of fatherhood that a father provides for his children? He is no father. He's a tyrant. Turn these stones into bread yourself and eat. Provide for yourself. Get what you need to get. Be your own father. Be your own provider. And throw him off. The Son, in the Old Testament, Israel of the Old Testament at least got bread, at least got manna in the wilderness. And here you are, the beloved son, and you have nothing. And you have the power to do something about it. The Israelites couldn't do anything about it except complain. But you have the power to provide for yourself when He will not provide for you. Call on the power of your divinity. You have every right. Command. Speak with this purpose. Turn the stones into bread. And you will have food for yourself. Do you see what He's doing? The devil is seeking to get the true Son of God to distrust His Father and His provision in the wilderness. Just like he got the Old Testament Son to distrust Father and His provision in the wilderness. You see then, to eat bread, to turn the stones into bread, and to eat that bread at this time, in these circumstances of Jesus' life, would have been our Lord indeed saying to His Father, "You're no good. You're no good as a father." He would have been echoing those Israelites in Exodus chapter 16. "You're no good. You took me out here to kill me. You took me out here to destroy me. I don't trust You to provide for me, to uphold me." He would have been saying, just like Israel of old, "I know better than Thou dost know how to be my Father. I need bread, and I need it now. And I will provide for myself. You have declared me Your beloved Son? Fine. But You are not my beloved Father. I don't trust You in the wilderness." The devil still uses this temptation. He uses it upon the church that is left behind in the wilderness of this world. Temptation not to trust Him as Father. Unless He fulfills what I want, what I desire, unless He gives me what I am looking for. The temptation to throw Him off as my Father when we think that He's not doing a good enough job and that we could father ourselves better than He does. Don't you hear the devil's whisper in the ear? Look what He holds back from you in your life. And everybody else has that and so much more. Look what He holds back from you. He said you were His Son in Jesus Christ. But what kind of a father makes his son go through something like this in their life? He's a worthless father. He's not trustworthy as a father. Throw him off and father yourself. Trust your own belly, your own desires instead, and get what you want. And every time we complain about God's way with us, every time we reach for what He has not given in a way that is contrary to His will, we are falling to this temptation in the wilderness. We're saying, "Devil, you're right. You're right. He's not a good father. He isn't trustworthy in the wilderness of this world. I know what I need better than He knows what I need. And my belly, my desires will be my Father and my God and not Him. I'd rather be a slave to my own lusts and get what I want than have Him as my Father. I want more, and He isn't giving me more. Away with Him. I will cheat to get it. I will steal to get it. He doesn't know what He's doing in my life. I don't trust Him here in the wilderness. I will go my own way." He has a father. Says that what is best is to reserve the physical intimacy of husband and wife for marriage. But I want it now. And I know what I need better than He does. He's no father in the wilderness of this world. He's a tyrant to demand that of me. I would rather have what my own belly desires than Him as my Father. This is better for me. I know it. I know it. I know what I need. And He doesn't. Away with Him. And instead of submitting our bellies to His fatherly way for us, we submit His fatherhood to our bellies and find Him wanting. Meats for the belly, belly for the meats, we cry. And He really ought to know that by now. And since He doesn't seem to, though He tells me that I am His beloved Son in Christ, I don't trust Him. He's not my Father. And I'll go my own way in the wilderness of this world. The true Israel, the true beloved Son of God, resisted this temptation to distrust Father's provision in the wilderness. And He did so with the word of Jehovah God. Our Lord quotes, as we said, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, to resist this temptation. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The first and most literal understanding of this is that Jesus is pointing out to the devil that a person does not live simply by having bread. He doesn't live simply by having whatever he wants, but by the divine word of God that appoints to us that bread. And that appoints to us everything that we need and when we need it. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God there is every divine decree, every divine appointment that God has made for us in our way in this wilderness. Part of that appointment is when we can have bread and when we cannot, and how much we can have bread and how much we cannot. Part of that appointment is when we can have the things that we desire and when we cannot have the things that we desire. We do not live by bread all by itself, divorced from God's will concerning that bread, but by bread divinely appointed from the mouth of Jehovah God. And true life, that text is saying, true life is not simply to have bread or to have whatever our hearts desire whenever we want it. True life is to trust Him and to have bread when He wants it. And to have whatever we desire when He wants us to have what we desire, and not to have what we desire when He wants us not to. True life is to have physical intimacy, to have wealth, to have whatever else it is, when He as Father appoints that thing to us in the wilderness of this world. True life is to trust His divine appointment. It is to submit to His fatherly control and to know that what He determines for us is best in the wilderness of this world, for He is Father. This is what the Israelites were supposed to learn in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 in full, the whole verse. The Lord quotes the last part of the verse. The whole verse says this, and He humbled thee, that is, God humbled you, Israelites, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Moses is telling the Israelites there, He made you hungry. He made you hungry in the wilderness. And then He fed you. He provided for you with a divine, miraculous bread that came down from heaven. And He did that for this reason, so that you might know, to teach you, that man does not live simply by getting bread whenever he wants and however much he wants it, but that you live by divine appointment from your Father. God will provide what you need when you need it. Trust His word. Trust His decree. Trust His appointment for you. Israel had to learn that through the way of much sin, much failure. But Jesus didn't have to learn it. He knew it. He knew it in the depths of His soul. And the temptation only brings out that He knew it. He trusted His Father. He trusted Him. The beloved Son was tested in the wilderness. And He came forth as gold, beloved. He knew. He knew that God's divine decree, divine appointment for him right now was this fast. His Father was testing him, and he knew that, and he must bear that as God's divine appointment for him, and not think that he knew better than his Father, that he could provide for himself better than God could. He knew that God had promised a wedding feast on the other side of his suffering, where the bride, the Lamb's wife, would be with him. And he trusted his Father to take him to that day when he wanted and how he wanted. He knew that his Father would take care of him even in this wilderness. And he did. After this was all over, verse 11 states that the angels came and ministered unto him. And you can be sure that part of their ministering unto him was to give him food after the temptation was over. Lord trusted his Father. Even 40 days hungry, he trusted his Father. If his Father had him hungry for 40 days, it's good. Good for him and good for the kingdom. And he will live not by bread alone, but by the divine appointment of his Father. And this is how you and I must live too, beloved. We don't live by bread all by itself, but by bread appointed by God, when and where and how much He wants it to be given to us. We use the means that He has provided and calls us to use. We trust Him. We trust Him to be our Father in the wilderness of this world. We trust His divine appointment of commands for us in the wilderness of this world. Golf is a fine sport, fine thing to enjoy, but not on the Lord's day, says our Father. And He tells us, in the midst of the wilderness of this world, trust my fatherly appointment for you in that regard as you are here. You don't know better than me. Trust my way. Work. Work is a good thing. Money is a good thing. But not when it comes in a way contrary to my divine appointment for the mother of the home. My word, says Jehovah God, is that the mother with small children, her place is keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus 2, verse 5. I am your Father in the wilderness of this world. Trust my divine appointment for you and not yourself. Times of ease are fine. They're good. But not if I have appointed a time of trial for you. Don't rebel. No, you don't. You don't know better than me. I am your Father. And this way is best. Trust me, in the wilderness of this world, what would you rather be? A slave to your own desires and wants, or a son fathered by the God of heaven and earth? Trust my fatherhood in the wilderness of this world. But the devil's temptation was not only to make the beloved son personally distrust his father's appointment of no food for him for 40 days. It was also to make him distrust his father's appointment of no food to build the kingdom. God had decreed, God had appointed that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ would be a kingdom that was established and built by the cross, a spiritual kingdom that redeems the souls of its citizens by payment for sin. And the devil is tempting Jesus also here to build that kingdom another way, and to build it specifically by bread. Like this. You feel those hunger pains, don't you, Jesus? People all across this globe have them. And like Israel of old, those people would rather be fed than fathered by Jehovah God. And you can understand that a little bit now, can't you? You feel their hunger now, do you not? They want their felt needs to be met. That's what they desire. Not only bread, but bread as it represents the desires that men have. If you give them all the food that they want, if you met all their felt needs in a way that God does not meet their felt needs, you will have a kingdom like you could never possibly imagine. Just think of it. They'll flock to you and they will bow down to you. You're not going to get near as many, you know, by preaching to them to think of the heavenly above the earthly, by preaching about sin and forgiveness and a life to come. They're wicked people. They're of the earth, earthy. They'll gladly trade their soul for a bowl of pottage. Haven't you learned anything, Jesus, by watching the history of this world? Even Israel wanted to be a slave in Egypt rather than have the spiritual Heavenly Father. Just so long as they had their earthly desires met, their cravings satisfied. You want to build a kingdom? Let their belly be their gods, and they will bow down to you, every single last one of them. As the great author Dostoevsky put it, speaking for the devil, quote, "Seest thou these stones in this parched and barren wilderness? Turn them into bread, and mankind will run after thee like a flock of sheep, grateful and obedient, though forever trembling, lest thou withdraw thy hand and deny them this bread." And you feel the temptation, Jesus? You feel the hunger? If they had everything they wanted, they would love Him. And you have the power to give it to them. Give them all that their foolish hearts desire, and they will say He is their Father, all of them. All of them. You'll have a kingdom that knows no bounds. That this is part of the devil's temptation too is evident from the fact that the devil was always trying to get Jesus to build His kingdom apart from the way of the cross. Remember that later in Jesus' ministry in Matthew 16, the Apostle Peter rebukes Jesus for saying that He's going to Jerusalem to suffer and die upon the cross and to rise again. The third day, Peter says, "Not so, Lord, not so, be it far from Thee." How does Jesus respond to Peter there? He sees that the devil was tempting him through Peter, tempting him to not go the way of the cross. And He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's always part of the devil's temptation of the Lord, to bypass the cross. And that's the temptation here too. In addition, remember that this specific temptation to build a kingdom with bread came back to our Lord later in His ministry, John chapter 6, where Jesus took compassion upon the needy crowds, fed the 5,000 with earthly bread. But then when He called them to seek the heavenly, to see Himself as the true bread of life, the people rejected Him as their spiritual king. And instead wanted Him to be their earthly king. They said to themselves, "We'll never have to work a day again in our lives. All He has to do is say the word and we'll have food forever and ever and ever. We'll never have to do anything. Set Him upon the throne. Put a crown upon His head." The temptation again was to feed them and to keep feeding them. "And they will make you king, Jesus. Give them their earthly desires, and they will give you your kingdom." Knowing that, when we come back then to our text, we see something quite interesting. When the devil tempts Jesus to turn the stones into bread, he doesn't tell Jesus to turn one stone into bread, but stones, plural. "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The devil waved his hand across the Judean wilderness. If you've ever seen a picture of the Judean wilderness, you know it's almost all stone and rock. Turn these rocks, plural, into bread, Jesus. Jesus didn't have need for more than a plateful of bread for himself. So why would the temptation be to turn so many stones into bread? Because the devil was aiming at more than just Jesus personally. Feed the world, Jesus. You have the power. Feed the world like you want to be fed right now, and you will have a kingdom that knows no bounds. This too was a real temptation for our Lord Jesus Christ. This kingdom that the devil was proposing would be a kingdom that did not require the cross. It would not require him to face the wrath of his Father. It also seemed fairly compassionate at first glance. He could understand in his human nature to want to have all earthly desires fulfilled. But he knew that going this way would be to build a kingdom that did no ultimate good. For everyone in that kingdom would have a full stomach, but would die with a full stomach one day and would go to hell for all eternity. He knew that going this way would buy their allegiance for life, but would lose their souls to the devil in death. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not willing to build a kingdom such as this. He resisted the temptation. And he resisted it by means of the word again, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Man needs bread for physical life, absolutely. But he needs so much more than bread to live, Satan. He needs what God has appointed for life, and what God has appointed for life ultimately is me. Is me. The true bread. I am ultimately the divine word coming forth out of the mouth of God. I am the divine appointment for true living. I am come to fulfill all righteousness, to grant peace with God by grace through faith. And those who are given eyes to see the priority of the spiritual over the earthly will enter into that kingdom forever and ever and ever. The kingdom that I build, Satan, will not be a kingdom that ends at physical death, but a kingdom that endures forever. I will show true compassion and save them, body and soul, to the uttermost. I will become the true heavenly bread that they must eat. I'll provide them with a bread that no earthly king can provide, no earthly kingdom can supply, a meal that will cause them to live forever. This is why Jesus did not feed the world while he was here. Person has to ask himself that question. Why not? He could have. The devil was right from that point of view. He could have. He could have fed absolutely everyone. He could have given everyone every earthly desire that they had. He certainly did give necessities at times to provide daily bread and to show his power. But like in John chapter 6, when the people wanted the earthly over the heavenly, he walked away, turned elsewhere. He is the atonement for sin. He is the bread of life. He has come to proclaim this truth for the upbuilding of his eternal kingdom. And he calls his church to proclaim that too. When Jesus left, he left the church with the Great Commission, a commission to do what he had done. To teach, and to command. Not to feed the world, not to grant every earthly desire, but go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them and calling them to obey all of my commandments. And beloved, the devil tempts the church to forsake this calling, like he tempted Jesus to forsake that calling. The false church tempts the true church to forsake this calling. Here is the goal of the church. Give the world what they want. Just feed them. Just clothe them. Let them sin and do not discipline them for it. And they will flock to the kingdom. They will fill the church buildings. They will proclaim Christ their King. And how many churches fall to the devil's temptation? Forsake teaching Christ and Him crucified. Forsake calling to repentance and faith and entrance into a heavenly kingdom that never ends. Forsake calling for obedience to all of His commands. Forsake church discipline when men make their belly their God. And the church must be reminded of her calling from the Lord Jesus Christ here in the text. Proclaim Him as the bread of life come down from heaven. Proclaim His heavenly reign over His people and His kingdom. The church is the herald of the spiritual kingdom and its spiritual King, Jesus Christ. She is the herald of His law and of His gospel, the herald of true heavenly rest in the way of repentance and faith. Doesn't mean, of course, that we never care for people's earthly needs. We do. We care for people's basic necessities with compassionate hearts when that's necessary, like Jesus did when He was on the earth. And we teach them how to get those things for themselves. As the Apostle Paul said, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. But we bring the bread of life with us as more important than earthly bread. And if the earthly bread is all that is desired, and the bread of life is rejected, then like Jesus, we turn elsewhere. For His kingdom will not be built by turning stones into bread, even if the church has the ability to do so. His kingdom will be built upon Him as the perfect Son, perfect sacrifice. And He shows Himself to be that perfect Son and perfect sacrifice after this first temptation. He is the Son that Israel is not. He is the Son that you and I are not. Tempted, He does not fall. How often, beloved, have we doubted Him as our Father in the midst of the wilderness of this world? How often have we followed our own bellies as our Father and shrugged Him off? We have failed as sons. He lives in perfect trust of His Heavenly Father and will not go outside a Father's appointment for Him. He has a righteousness, therefore, to impute to you and to me, that we might have the right to be sons and daughters, even though we are unrighteous. He's the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice after this first temptation. As He showed us in His baptism, He has come to fulfill all righteousness for His people. And the spotless Lamb in this first temptation has not been turned aside from going that way of the cross to atone for the sins of His people. He will bear the weight of the eternal wrath of God for them, that they might have the right to be sons and daughters with Him. And He will strengthen you and strengthen me to resist this temptation in the wilderness. Are you tempted this evening to distrust your Father? Are His care and His provision for you a question in your mind? You chafe under the appointments, commands of your Father in the wilderness of this world. Resist that temptation with the power of the Word and promises of God. There is a wedding feast. There is a wedding feast with Christ on the other side of this wilderness. In the meantime, He sends us through times of feasting, through times of famine, times of trial, times of joy. He withholds and He gives. He commands things for us in the wilderness of this world that go against our desires by nature. He tests us. He strengthens us. He works to make us into adopted sons and daughters like His beloved Son. The beloved Son who can strengthen you and me. And the beloved Son who understands our doubts and our struggles. He felt them in this first temptation. And He will, by word and spirit, strengthen us. And we ask for that spirit. We turn to that word by grace, so that we might say with Him, Thou art my Father. In Thee do I trust, in the midst of the wilderness. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for the perfect righteousness of our older brother, our Savior and our King. By His power, through Thy Word, send Thy Spirit to resist the temptation that He resisted. We can't perfectly, and we will fail many times. Take away our sin in His blood, and give us the strength to trust Thee. For Christ's sake, Amen.